Info's Morning Crossfire. Lagos, welcome as you join us on this particular edition of the show. We're focusing on fibroids because July is Fibroid Awareness Month. Countless times on Morning Crossfire, we have had conversations on fibroid, but it's important that we have this conversation again because it's Fibroid Awareness Month. Fibroid Awareness Month, which is short form FAM, is an annual observance held in July to inform the public about uterine fibroid disease. It is also an opportunity to advocate for more fibroid research and to improve access to care for women with this condition. Now, according to reports, one in five women within the age of 30 and 50 are most likely to be diagnosed with fibroid. I have my guest here who can confirm that and even give us more information. In Nigeria, research says there is a growing number of women contending with one situation of fibroids, fibroid condition or the other. It has also been reported that many women, out of fear of surgery or out of fear of lack of funds, have taken various concoctions. They've been to various places where they've been convinced that this thing will melt this thing away. This thing, you will just, you know, come out time for body as if you're the sheet. You know, that kind of thing. Pardon my word. And they've done this because, number one, they're scared of surgery. Maybe somebody had told them that, look, you must not undergo surgery in your entire lifetime. Then secondly, it's because of money as well. Now, according to research, this disease previously associated with middle-aged and older women, some of whom are already done with childbearing, the incidence has now spread to young and unmarried women yet to begin the process of childbearing. I'm going to stop here. I have plenty of numbers. Zainab, my research assistant, has put a lot of numbers here. She likes numbers a lot. So we're going to stop with the numbers. I'll allow my guest to give us all the facts and figures on the show this morning. I have Dr. Benjamin Olojebutu here. He's a public health physician, well known. He's been here before. He's also the chairman of the Nigerian Medical Association, Lagos State. He has performed over 3,000 free surgeries, including fibroids, hernia, lipoma, breast lumps, dental checkup, scaling and polishing. Man, it's just too good. Dr. Benjamin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharif. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How's it going?
Not bad, except the fuel thing.
Oh,
you're feeling it too, a bit.
It's crazy, man. I said the road was very free today. 11 miles. I go in. Normally, I get like 2 hours before, but I go in less than 1 hour because there are no cars on the road again.
Ooh.
People can't even buy it for. But we hope and pray that it gets better every day.
Yeah.
But let's talk about fibroids today.
Let's talk about fibroids. Yeah. Tell me, Dr. Benjamin, uterine fibroids, well, what are these things?
So this uterine fibroids are benign tumors that affect the womb of a woman, uterus, basically. So it's not cancerous, but it grows. It means, so I like to make it very simple so people can understand it. If a baby is in the tummy, is in the womb of a woman, what you eat and feed is what the baby feeds on. And baby grows gradually from 1 month to 2 to 3 to 9 months to 42 weeks before you deliver the baby. So the same way when you have the fibroid in the womb of a woman,
yeah,
as you feed in your mouth, you also feed the fibroid. That's why you see the fibroid can grow in leaps and in bounds, you know, from a small lemon to an orange size, to watermelon, to a basketball size, to 3 basketballs. That's how you can grow.
So it's a living thing.
It's a tumor. It's benign.
So why is it feeding? Why is it so growing?
So yes. So because it's a mass, and you feed, you eat. So it takes part of the nutrients your body should take, and it feeds itself. I get my point. That's why you can see a woman that says it's very small today, and the next 1 year it grows rapidly.
Yeah.
So because it's what they feed on and the hormones that work on it. So I usually say people that say that you can take herbal concoctions and stuff, that they're really working on their fear. I like the fact of what you said today, and I'm happy about saying it. Because what I realized in my own research, there are two Fs that affects women that are ravaged by these problems. One is fear. And one is fund. Fear and fund. So the people that say these things to them usually work on their fear. And because of fear, they don't believe them. So look at yourself, Sharif. Are you going to say somebody will take a medicine in the mouth that will convert the back of the coconut? So imagine a coconut back, you know, the coconut is, and you will take something that will make that coconut turn into water. That's how firm the fibroids are. That's how hard they are. So it's not logical, it's not scientific that somebody would say that you take a medicine. So, but because the ladies are afraid, they will believe anything. And the average cost of the fibroid is actually expensive. So they will not go to where they should get help from. They will go to where they can get alternative that will not help them.
So it's a reality that, you know, getting a surgery done for fibroid is expensive.
It is, yes. It is. It's quite expensive. So, you know, on the island, maybe over a million. On the mainland, maybe over 500,000. So people will not be able to afford it. A lot of people cannot afford it. A lot of people. And, you know, I've been to rural communities in this nation that I've seen women carry fibroid for 15, 20, 30 years because when they cannot afford it, and because of all superstitions. You know, people say things like cultural beliefs. Their grandmother threw it to them. Their father's father didn't like their mother, and they were walking on the road, and somebody just threw a stone at them, and the stone forms the fibroid in their tummy. So the knowledge gap in those communities are also there, which is what we try to do, to educate people in those communities. There's help for you. We can help you solve this problem. So you don't have to, live in this pain for a long time.
Who are more prone to coming down with fibroid?
So the things I've seen in the last few years, Sheriff, is that the nature abhors vacuum. This is my own conceptions, and I've looked at it clearly, and it works for me. So somebody starts menstruating at 10 years old, and she's 40. That means she has menstruated all her life for 30 years. Every month, there is no break. Now, when you are pregnant, 1 year, the womb is resting because you're carrying a baby. There's no menstruation. Another 1 year, you are breastfeeding the baby, so you're resting. Our parents didn't have fiber because they had multiple children early, and they now the wombs were resting. So, for example, you have five children. So it means that for five children, that means you have one child to take 2 years. So you have 10 years of the womb resting. The estrogen hormone that produces the fibroid is not produced when you are carrying a baby. But most of them, our ladies now, have not used the womb. More like the reason have not been breasted, they've been menstruated. So the more you shed the blood over and over again for years to come, something must grow in the womb. There can't be a vacuum. Rather, the fibroid is now more frequent in younger people. And a lot of women are taking a lot of contraceptives now. You know, and one of the things that contraceptive does is that it helps regulate the hormones. And that estrogen hormone becomes very much in the body and can make the womb stimulate a fibroid growth. So it's important people know that the things they do can also affect what is happening to them. Very, very important.
Is there any connection between, because I'm looking at, I want us to talk about, you know, age a little bit more before we now move on to other areas, because I want to look at the symptoms now. Some people, they have fiber, but there's really nothing. They don't feel anything.
Yes.
While some, they have so many things.
Yes, the symptoms are very crazy sometimes.
But let's dwell more on the age. What's the average age that you know now, Dr. Benjamin,
so
that
now,
these things can...
Now I see people that are 26, 20, 20 24.
26?
Yes, 24, 26, 30. Before, it used to be people above 30, 35, 40 that haven't used their womb for a long time.
Yeah.
But now it's coming early. I think things have happened to maybe our kind of feeding, our westernized food, you know. There's so much happening.
There's lifestyle coming in
lifestyle
now, right?
Coming in now, yes. Yeah. You know, people eating a lot of red meat, a lot of dairy food, a lot of pastries and stuff like that. Because I take this from patients I see so that I can infer. So what changed in your lifestyle? What happened? Why did it start growing? You know, I started taking a lot of cakes. I started taking a lot of suya at night and stuff like that. I'm not taking a lot of vegetables. No, I'm not taking a lot of fruit. So I think lifestyle is also affecting this thing gradually. But a lot of women are taking contraceptives. You know, the postnatal one, postnatal two, the after pill, after sex pill.
Yeah.
You know, so those are also creating a lot of challenges in women growing fibroids. And sometimes their family have it.
Yeah.
So you have a family, you know, is a familial problem. It's a family history. So maybe your auntie or your mother had it. There's a propensity for you to have it too, even at a younger age.
Mm.
So between 24, 26, 28, 30, we're seeing people coming up with it now.
Why do some people feel nothing and some others it's hellish for them?
So fibroid, it's the position of the fibroid, basically. So you have fibroid, not just the size, but the position. So I tell people, there are ways to look at it. So one of the commonest cause of infertility in Africa, in the world, is uterine fibroid, because where they stay in the womb, they stay sometimes, so we say there's subserous fibroid that stays in the muscle of the womb. There's intramural fibroid that stays within the endometrium of the womb. There is a subserous fibroid that stays on top of the womb. Mm. And there's spinoclitic that just have a stalk on the womb. So I give you a scenario. So you have, you get pregnant. Zero people have, say, habitual miscarriages at 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Mm.
So you have, so imagine a baby, a small baby, fetus is about the size of a granite, you know, the granite seed. So you have a big coconut on top of the uterus.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what is subserous. At that point, they might not have any issues, or maybe only pain, but they can get pregnant. But because the beans cannot expand, because there's a mass on top of it, what happens? They abort the baby.
Mm.
So they call it habitual abortion. So if you don't take out that mass that's resting on the womb, the baby cannot stay there. So sometimes it's also where it might be very, very minute, but where it's staying. If it's submucous, and there's a stretch on uterus, or there's a stretch on it's muscular, the pain is excruciating. You can see people bleeding from the first day of the month to another month.
Ooh.
Constantly, because as the blood is shedding through the fibroids, and they bleed a lot more.
What's the by the way, you can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's how you can watch us. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube, and would like to get your questions in as well. You can send your questions in by WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805. I can see questions here already. You can also call us. I will just ask one more question, then you can call us, and I will take your calls. You can ask Dr. Benjamin your question. So, Dr. Benjamin, I want to ask you some of the symptoms, because one thing while I was preparing for this program, I read that sometimes there are cases of misdiagnosis.
Yes.
What's the connection between endometriosis symptoms and some cases of fibroid symptoms?
So so endometriosis, as what is endometriosis? It means that part of the endometrium is now in other parts of the body. So it might be on the fallopian tube, it might be on the ovary, it might be on the cervix, but not within the confines of the endometrium.
Mm.
It means anytime they menstruate,
yeah,
that part of the endometrium also bleed.
Mm.
So it bleeds into their peritoneum. Some, you know, see they are bleeding, they're seeing blood through their umbilical cord and through their navel, because they bleed out of it.
Oh.
Yes. So it's because part of that endometrium has grown out of the uterus, out of the womb. So it's called endometriosis, the outside of the womb. And so anytime they see their menstrual flow, they are bleeding from two places, through their vagina and also through that particular spot. Some are not obvious, so they don't come out through the navel, but they bleed into their tummy. So they have severe excruciating pain.
Mm.
They can't even get pregnant because the endometrium is everywhere.
Mm.
You know, so you have to be sure that it is endometriosis you have, and there's uterine fibroid. What are the symptoms of uterine fibroid? Very simple. You have severe menstrual flow. Sorry, you have increased menstrual flow, which is called menorrhagia. So you used to have like maybe 3 days, 4 days before you used to 3 pads.
Mm-hmm.
Now your pad has increased to 5 pads every day or 10 pads every day, and the menstrual flow is increasing. You need to check a doctor. So, mm-hmm. And sometimes you used to wear size 14 of a shirt, and now suddenly become size 17. You think it's about 15 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the mass is just growing.
Ooh.
Some people don't know that the mass is there. I didn't know I have fibroid. I just saw something moving on my tummy, because people don't check themselves. So one of the things I tell people now is to check. If you see a change in your menstrual flow, you see a change in your tummy, you see a change in the kind of pain you have. For example, you say you have pain before, menses before. Now the pain is now throughout the menstrual flow.
Mm.
You need to get a doctor to check you up immediately.
Does it also? Sorry, I said one question before. Let's add on one. Does it also change the? Does it also result into irregular menstruation?
Yes.
Apart from the frequent,
yes, thing. Frequency and irregular, yes. Some now begin to bleed in between their menstrual flow too. So, for example, if you now have a woman have a cervical fibroid,
yeah,
that is close to the cervix, making love to husband is very, very, very painful. So she's just making love to the husband, and the husband is just eating on that fibroid, and there's so much pain,
ooh,
and they now call what is called poison bleeding. So I mean, after she makes up to the husband, she begins to bleed. Maybe because of the veracity of the rigorous nature of the lovemaking, she begins to bleed. So sometimes you have to be sure where the location of the fibroid is. Also, you see a doctor on time, so you can get it sorted.
Dr. Benjamin, let's go to the telephone lines before I squeeze in another question. 0700-993-993-993 for the male callers. Like I said, this question is for everybody. And the female listeners, you can call 01-465-7175. You're also very allowed to be anonymous if you want to be anonymous. Our live stream is up, and you can let us know your question there. I can see questions already in here for Dr. Benjamin, but let's jump on this call very quickly. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning to the doctor.
Good morning to
my
you, sir.
My question is this. A woman that is a bit plumpy, and she's having consistent bleeding anytime she's having her menstrual cycle, heavy flow. Her tummy is also big. Heavy flow, what could be the cause? And it could be severe sometimes. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you very much. So one of the things, one of the risk factors for fibroid is also obesity, being very big. So I'm sure she needs to get a scan done. From this issue, she has said now, I think she has the fibroid, it's obvious. Because her tummy is big, and she's having increase in menstrual flow that is very severe. She needs to get it checked. So one of the risk factors, as I said, if it's familiar, if it's in the family, if you're obese, if you take a lot of contraception, if you have issues with them, irregular menstrual flow, those are the risk factors that can make you propensity to have fibroids as a woman.
Aisha is here. Aisha, morning to you.
Hi, good morning. This is Aisha calling from Ikoyi.
Good morning.
Dr. Ben, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Aisha. How are you today?
I don't know if you still remember the Aisha speaking.
I can't remember.
This is one of your patients in the way back.
Oh, Aisha, how are you doing? Bless you.
Fine, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Mr. Shay, good morning, sir.
Morning, Aisha.
So, why I call this morning is after the surgery, Dr. Ben, I think I complained to you. I came back to the hospital, I think, was it a year after? Yeah, a year after. So, I get to know that exactly a year after, I went to run a scan to check what was wrong, what was in me again. So, after a year, I discovered the fibroid is growing back. So these days, even before the surgery, I only discovered my under abdomen being swollen. So apart from that, I don't have any other discomfort. Though I do have menstrual
cramps.
Yeah, I do have menstrual pain. Then heavy flow. But that heavy flow is not frequent like that.
Okay.
But now, after the surgery, I do feel some movement in my tummy. I just feel something move.
Okay.
Then a bit later, it will stop.
Okay, let me explain that.
Hold on, Dr. Ben. Hold on. Let's have anonymous. After the anonymous, anonymous is gone. So please go on and answer.
Okay. So sometimes the fibroids have some other part of it. So you have fibroid that has adenomyosis content in it. So adenomyosis is another form of it's a fibroid. It's a form of womb challenge. That makes the womb almost distorted. So sometimes it's the whole womb that is distorted, or sometimes it's just part of the womb that we have adenomyosis. And if you look at adenomyosis, most of the time the diagnosis to solve the adenomyosis problem is to take out the womb, hysterectomy, because they have severe pain. I have a lady that is just be very young. She doesn't want her womb removed. So you have to just scrape out that part of that adenomyosis and take out the fiber. So they have what we call adenomyotic combined with uterine fiber. So women go through a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. So that lady, that's what she had. She had some adenomyosis with the fiber she had. And that alone.
Dr. Benjamin, I'm sorry to butt in. We need to take this short break. Huh? We'll be right, Lagos. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I have follow-up questions to that.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire here. I've got Dr. Benjamin Ojebutu here, and we've been talking about Fibroid Awareness Month. uterine fibroid, to be very precise. And yes, we're taking your calls and your thoughts. Before the break, Dr. Ben, you were responding to a caller earlier, Aisha, about situation.
I was saying that, you know, I think about endometriosis before, where I said you have the endometrium that are not outside the womb. So you have on the ovaries. But adenomyosis have this, what happens in adenomyosis is that the endometrial structure now begins to infuse every part of the uterus, you know, from the submucous layer to the, so it makes, so you can take maybe a few parts of it, or you can take the whole part of it. So they have the same symptom, but only that what they have now, they have more excruciating pain. The womb cannot carry a baby, and they are bleeding longer. So it can be the old womb. Okay, it can be the old womb, and also be or also part of the womb. You know, so for an unmarried person or that doesn't really married, you take out that part of the adenomyosis.
Yeah.
But there's a propensity for it to grow again. That's the way it is. So another thing that I wanted to say when you're coming back, when we came back, is that sometimes it's not particularly the symptom of the fibroid that actually makes the woman have issues or kills the woman. It's a complication of the mass in the womb. For example, I've heard about people that the fiber grow very, very big, like the size of a basketball, and has been resting on their ureters. Ureters are the organ that transports or transmits urine from the, that's generated from the kidneys and goes into the bladder, so you can pass it out. So you know, so you have the kidneys, and you now have the big fiber that rests on the ureters. So instead of the urine coming down easily into the bladder, they go back and stay in the kidneys. Well, I will call adenonephrosis. So there's fluid in the nephrons of the kidneys, so they're growing bigger. So the urine cannot come down. What happens then the nasty woman taking about medicines again. So because the kidneys are already failing because of adenonephrosis, and that toxic about medicine they're taking just kills
the kidneys.
Ooh. So we have seen people now having fibroids now with advancement acute renal injury, ERI, and now begins to have an end-stage renal failure, and the kidneys are failing. So it's not primarily the fibroid that's causing their problem, because of the toxins they've taken from herbal medicines and the huge fibroid they have in their tummy. So that's what I always tell people. You don't have to, these herbal medicines, they don't work. So take out the fiber so that you can have your life better, and those other bad symptoms will go away, because if you take out the mass immediately, the urine that is stuck in the kidneys will quickly go into the ureter and go to the bladder. So you have functional kidneys, functional ureters, and functional bladder.
Indeed, it feels really bad, really. 8:45 right now. Let's take one or two calls. I have loads of my own questions, but we'll take some questions on social media as well. Let's see who is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharif.
Yes, ma'am. Morning.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning to you, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm fine. I can't hide my name because my voice has you know.
It's okay.
This is Madam Ify.
You're welcome.
I'm a victim of this fibroid. It showed me shaggy.
Sorry, ma'am.
Fear. When I was diagnosed for it, I was, for another 5 years, I was living in fear. Because I said, what are they looking for inside my stomach? What are they looking for? Until when this inanis lost life out of me, January 2012. My children had to rush me to the hospital, bleeding nonstop, until I met my doctor. He said, do you still want babies? I said, why should I want babies? My last daughter is almost 20. What am I looking for, baby? My husband is late. He said, so why don't you remove it? I said, let me think about it. As I was going, he called me back. He said, Mama, do you know that this bleeding is even more life-threatening than the fibroid? But again, if you leave that fibroid, it could become cancerous. That was the magic word for me. Cancer? And I told my children, I said, look, man die but once. You don't die two times. I'm going for it. So on the 30th of January, it's very expensive. Got the money, the family helped me out, my family helped me out, and I went in. I removed him. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I now, if you see me since that January to date, I now got myself back, my beauty back, my body back, and I never went back to that hospital. I don't want to call the name to that hospital to tell them that, oh, something is wrong with me or something is wrong. Cancer. That was the magic word. If you know you have it, pray over it. Let God direct you to the right hospital. Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That was inspirational. Thank you so much. I'm sure that ladies who are listening right now would get some lessons out of the submission of Madam Ife. Good morning to you.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, what I want to say is this. I just got operated because I've been battling with it. So, but right now, my question to the doctor is, what should one do to prevent the regrowth? Because it has always been the issue. It's good. That is why those people will be able to convince you to take all these herbs. And all that.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you. Let me answer that question quickly. So one is get pregnant. So if you're looking for a baby and you have fibroids, so you take out the fibroids, just get pregnant. When there's something in the womb, it doesn't grow anymore, as I said earlier before, because the womb must not have a vacuum. So get pregnant. You know, then if you are finished having the baby, like Madam Ife had, you can do an hysterectomy, just take out the womb. You don't need it anymore because the womb is just to carry children. So and the fiber can only grow in the womb. So if there's a womb there, it won't grow anymore. So what I advise people, take out the fiber. So I usually advise them that you should do this surgery with the support system of your husband or your family so that they understand that when you take out the fibroids, a few years, you need to get pregnant. You know, so if trying to get pregnant naturally is not coming, go and do an ICSI or do an IVF and get pregnant. But when the womb is lying to follow again, something will just stimulate it. So it's not the fiber. It's not like maybe they didn't do the fiber surgery properly. No, it's because the womb is still fallow for a longer time. That's why something has to grow there.
Indeed. Let's take a message on Facebook. This person says, Dr. Benjamin is very knowledgeable. I like his analysis. I know a lady who is just pregnant for about 8 weeks. She's always feeling pains in her tummy. She did a scan and was told everything is all right. What could be the cause of the pain? She's had her first child about 4 years before.
Okay, so anything can cause a pain. There's what's called implantation pain early. In the first trimester, you know, and they have hypermesis gravidarum. There's pain, there's vomiting. Maybe when she's wrenching, she's having pain in it. It's not a problem. Let her take a lot of fluids and rest properly. And most times, when you're pregnant that early, you don't engage in love making again. Let your husband rest, and so your baby's resting. Those things can cause the pain that she's having also.
Indeed. Obasi on Facebook says, I see some medical doctors promoting the use of drugs and the insertion of things into the vagina to shrink or dissolve the fibroids. So what do you advise women considering these factors?
Medical doctors?
That's what the person wrote.
Oh, no. So I don't think that's right. Maybe people that mimic could be medical doctors. So no medical doctor will tell you to take medicines inside your vagina to shrink, you know. Some people disguise, you know, the fake guys disguise that they're doctors. They call themselves doctors too. And just tell people to come and take this kind of medicine. So I don't advise you to do it because sometimes people have taken these drugs in their vagina that has caused what we call vagina stenosis. That has burnt their vagina and vagina just closed, you know, so there's no penetration again. So those effect of this thing causes more harm than you think is causing you good.
So I have another one here by Martin, and Sediki said, I second the question from Martin, as he's asking the same question. He says, does having sex regularly help in reducing fibroid? Because I heard that when a woman is not sexually active, it makes the fibroid grow.
That's not true. But it's not true that it's regular sex. That's not a true statement. But the woman getting pregnant using the womb early is a good opportunity to reduce having fibroid. Our parents, okay. So the length of time that you stayed before having a baby can affect. So our parents maybe started mentioning when they were 12, and their first child was like 20. So they just waited for about 8 years, you know, so it wasn't too long and the womb started working. So for me, it's about making the womb work early,
yeah,
not necessarily about having sex and regularly. That doesn't affect it at all.
Indeed. Dr. Benjamin, we have to leave it here this morning. But before we go, how can people reach you?
Okay, my name is Dr. Benjamin. So you can reach me on Instagram at Benjamin Olowojebutu FDN on Instagram. My phone, my WhatsApp on 0808-1166-492. It's 0808-1166-492 on WhatsApp.
Any question that you've got, please go and ask Dr. Benjamin. This is how far we can go this morning. Even me, I couldn't ask all my questions. I'm Sharif Quadri. As our show, Daily Digest is next. Good morning to you.